Father, we magnify you and give all the glory to you. We thank you for your great goodness. Bless you, Daddy. Bless you, Father. Give all the praise, glory, and honor to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug this evening. Tell them they're loved. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. During this next time, we're just going to sing the song we just sang in worship a little bit. If you have something to bring tonight, go ahead and bring it up before we get into the Word. And we appreciate your giving. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you right now that you're the one speaking to the hearts on a weekly basis. Not only do the blind see and the lame walk and all the mighty miracles all the way to the evangelism of this city, but we thank you, Father, that you have a plan for the provision. And so, Lord, you're the one who speaks to the hearts. And, Lord, we thank you that in that provision it all works together for even the evangelism of this city. Lord, for this church, for all this ministry, we give you all the praise and glory. And thank you for it. Speaking to them, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you. It's time of giving, and Lord, we just bless and thank you for their gifts. And thank you for what you're doing in us, mostly for what you're going to do through us in the days ahead. Well, as much in us, Lord, we thank you for that. Because it's what you're doing in us that'll be the part that you'll work through us. And so, God, we give you all the praise and glory as our Father. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no temptation that's come to try you, but such as is common to man, saith the Spirit of grace. But know this, that I'll make a way of escape in every temptation, that you may walk through it, bear it unto the place of victory, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not quit. Do not stop. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Look in front of you. The light is in front of you. The light is in front of you. The light is in front of you. Walk after the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk after the Spirit and you'll not be discouraged. Walk, saith the Spirit of grace, into the Spirit and after the Spirit, and you'll see things as they are. You'll see things in truth. For the trial will drunken your senses, and the trial will cause you to believe things that are not true. But I say unto you, listen to me. Listen to peace. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the good news and the gospel of peace. Let peace be that which confirms all things, saith the Spirit of grace. And I will lead you forth, and everyone in this building will stand in a place of victory if you choose that path, that better path, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Arakatenis. We exalt you. Just let that soak in for a moment. Jesus. Jesus. I don't know if you, and this is not a question or a statement of condemnation, it's just question. I don't know if you kept your appointment today. What appointment was that? It wasn't with the attorney. wasn't with the doctor. But every single one of us, unless you're a little one, he planned to meet with you today. He had something to say. I don't know how long your meeting was supposed to be. I'm not sure what time it was supposed to take place. He knew. And if you'd have asked him, and again, no condemnation, if you'd have asked him yesterday, he'd have told you. Because he's a living Lord. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and though he's glorified man, he's also Almighty God. He knows everybody. He knows all of his children. And he's looking every day to come in the person of the Holy Spirit and meet with us, meet with you. I don't know if you come in the front entrance, drove around, or come by the side street, but the sign on the church says the Family Prayer Center. Family Prayer Center. Well, we're all about family, but our mission is to teach people how to go into God. And how to go into God begins in prayer. It's just that simple. Begins in prayer. And he's got a plan for your life as surely as he's got for mine. He lives and breathes to talk to you on a daily basis. He's got a blueprint for your life. He's got a blueprint for you for tomorrow, for today. He's got a blueprint for you to walk out of everything into everything that he wants you to be. And he's more than willing to share that with us. The only thing he needs is our time. He needs our time. And then he not only wants to do that for us, he wants to so empower us, is that we get so free. There are a lot of people that we're supposed to be affecting their lives. Jesus, in his last, just before he went back, he said, I have many things to say to you. Many things to say. But you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Well, his truth is his word. But his truth is also everything that he's designed for your life. And everything that he wants to get you past. And how he wants to get you past it. And how he wants to begin to program your thinking. Be renewed, he said, in the spirit of your mind. One way you can see that is be renewed in the disposition of your mind. I can say a word to you. I can say a word to you, and then I can say a word to you, and it'd be the same word. But it's how you're hearing something. If you hear it because you're drunkened with torment and fear and depression and anxiety and all kinds of stuff, the same word that is life unto him will be death to you because you're not hearing it right. You're not hearing it right. And the only way that we can come into a place where the disposition of our mind is so renewed is that we come in to a place where the Holy Spirit's able to begin to bathe us. We get so drunken. We can get so drunken, our senses, with the fight that we don't even know what reality is. We can get so drunken. And that's why it says be renewed in the disposition of your mind, or be renewed in the attitude of your mind, is because it's the way you see something. We can be both of us looking at the same thing, and I'm seeing total victory, and you're seeing total defeat. And it's the same thing, or vice versa. You can be looking at something, seeing total defeat, and yet victory's right there. The best days of our life are right there. The only thing is, do we keep our appointments? Luke chapter 18, Jesus is talking about an unjust judge. Oh, just turn there, Luke 18. Read verse 8, and then I'll back up into Jesus's parable and read what he actually had to say. But he says in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? He's talking about at his return, will he find faith? What kind of faith was he talking about? Was he saying, will anybody believe in the existence of God? Will anybody believe in my existence as Son of Man, Son of God, living Christ? He describes what kind of faith he's talking about in this parable. In verse 1 of chapter 18, he says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Not to faint. The front of the church says the family prayer center. And prayer unto God is the thing that's going to take us in to revival. But it's also the thing that's going to cause your life to succeed. He said men ought to always, he spake this parable, men ought to always to pray, stay in a posture, a position, always poised in that place of prayer, and not to faint. Faint means to quit. It doesn't mean to pass out. It means to quit. Now, he told us how to do that in this parable. Because I can tell you this is a lifetime commitment to prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because you can be tearing it up now, or let say last year, I mean praying like crazy, and then 5 years down the road look back and say, I can't remember the last time I spent that I was able to put my behind in a chair for stretch you 2 hours, 1 hour, okay, 30 minutes for some. I can't remember when the last time was I could settle my flesh down and it didn't want to go somewhere or do something or fulfill a responsibility. You know, when your flesh starts fighting you, you become the most responsible person in the world. Your grocery list or your checklist of things to do will get incredibly creative. Incredibly. The only thing is, when you fulfill the 25th thing on that checklist, if you're not praying, your peace will still not be there. You'll have the satisfaction of, I got 25 things done today. Golly, you turn around and there's 50 things to do tomorrow. Praise God. I hope I'm not hurting. I hope I'm helping. So don't faint. Pray. Just don't faint. Just don't give up. He said there was in a city, verse 2, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. No, some people have preached this as God. This is ridiculous to preach that God doesn't reverence and owns his own self. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, nor neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Here Jesus said what the unjust judge saith. He's going to give the exact opposite of who God is. One, we know you can't weary God because he doesn't want to be wearied. He wants to answer before you call. He wants to answer before you call. He said, God will avenge his own elect that cry unto him day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. It doesn't say that we're having to bear long with God. It says he bears long with us. So that's totally two different things. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, what we just read, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We didn't have it, the reenactment of it tonight. But if I had the chairs and taught on spirit, soul, and body, or spirit, soul, and flesh, and the flesh being the combination of the body and the unrenewed parts of the mind that have not yet been renewed to the Word of God, and then we brought out at the end that green mask, and we put it on Alex and said, this was the same body that Jesus wore. He wore a body just like you and I, a flesh, an earth suit. He wore an earth suit. The earth suit, that green monster that we've been portraying for the last few weeks, really is the unjust judge in this chapter. It's the flesh that really, you say, well, no, I love God. I know you do in your spirit. And I know your mind does, your renewed mind. But your flesh, in and of itself, it really doesn't have any reverence for God. It could care less if it ever prays again. It could care less. In fact, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm wearing one of these things too. It's an earth suit. Unless you bring it, what Jesus was teaching here, you can't weary God, but you can do this. You can continually bring your flesh to the cross on a daily basis. Because in and of itself, that thing's not redeemed. We've taught extensively over the last few weeks, your spirit got redeemed the moment that you're born again. Ephesians 4 says, it was created in full maturity, the full maturity of the righteousness of God and true holiness. Your mind, which is your soul, it has to be renewed on a continual basis. It has to be transformed. It's the word metamorphosis. It's what a caterpillar does when it goes from a caterpillar to a butterfly. But your body, Romans 8 says that God has declared your body dead. Why? For what purpose? He positionally declared it dead because of sin. Because it has sin. It has the enzymes. You don't have to sin, but it has all of the best way I can say it. It has the capacity to sin, but it still has all of those molecules of rebellion in it, of sin in it, of the extreme possibility. That's the unjust judge. If you ask your flesh or your soul that is not or might be connected to your flesh, would you rather pray today or just have a good time? Well, I think prayer is a good time. And then if you get your prayer time done, maybe he'll let you go do something else. But your flesh every day will vote. Let's just go party today and we'll pray tomorrow. It's lying to you. It won't pray tomorrow. It will not pray tomorrow. Because tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, it'll either want to go play again or else it will tell you, you played yesterday. Now you got something, you got responsibilities you got to go fulfill. Every day it will nickel and dime you to death. Hallelujah. Praise God. I bet you wish you didn't come tonight. You're trying to revert back to Sunday. It was so good when Homer had us all crying on Sunday. Now I got us crying, but not in a good way. No, I know you love me. He said that he wouldn't for a while, this judge wouldn't yield for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her by her continual coming. You have a living Lord. And there's no hands raised or no questions asked. But here's how the enemy gets us. If you don't know already, Tim Stemple talks about having a blueprint for your life. Now we know this canon of scriptures, 66 books, that's the beginning of our blueprint. But we serve a living Lord. There's really no book in here. You've heard Gary say this, it bears repeating. There's no book of Bronc Flynn in here. There's no, I don't know particularly why I'm in a, there's no book in here that tells me I should be in Immokalee preaching the gospel to you tonight. There's none. There's no scripture that you can turn to. There's no scripture that you can actually turn to and say where you should be living. All of the millions and millions of bits of information, that the only book is the book that he's writing within by the one that Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but I can't say them now. When he comes, he'll guide you into all truth. The truth, yes, is the word of God, and it is the truth about your life in following the Lord in everything. Now, here's where the first step in bringing that unjust judge under a place of dominion. And I might be speaking to everybody in here, and I'm not being facetious, I mean this. You may be able to do this, but if I ask you a few questions, if I ask you, what is your living Lord? Let me ask a few. What time are you supposed to be getting up every morning? I mean, well, he hadn't told me. Well, yes, he has too. You just haven't asked, or you ignored, or you've been too busy. Well, I get up because I got to go to work. Okay, well then, what time has he said to you personally that you need to be praying each day? I didn't know that I was supposed to. What time, and then how, And then the other question is, this living Lord that's speaking to every single one of us, you'll say, I can't hear his voice. Listen, he doesn't come down with angels and visions. When the Holy Spirit prophesied a few minutes ago, I didn't hear him saying every word. Like, I don't even know how you could do that. I don't know if you how a person could hear it, say, I mean, like verbatim. The revelation of everything he was saying just popped in my, come into my spirit, and I got to describe it the way I wanted to, but I knew it was pleasing him. It was exactly how he wanted it to say, but it was kind of in if Gary Carpenter would have said the same prophecy, it would have been the same message, but it would have maybe described a little different. But it was all from God, and I knew it was from God because there was a strong witness. The Holy Spirit prefaced it by me praying in tongues for a moment. Your daily living in Christ, like, how do I make these decisions? Sometimes you'll hear like an audible voice or a voice like with words. If you're trying to figure out how to listen to the voice of God, I have a two lesson series by Dave Roberson that's called Distinguishing God's Voice. I started to say we may have some of them back there, I don't know. But go online and listen to it. But anyway, the only reason why I'm saying all that is to say this. All of us, even though you don't know you are, if you love Jesus, if you've been born again, and if you've been spirit-filled especially, the Holy Ghost is there, he speaks. A lot of times you just think it's you. And a lot of times you just think, well, I had a peace that I was supposed to, you know, start getting up at 7 and pray 30 minutes in the Holy Ghost and then read the Word. I had a peace. I don't know if that was God speaking. It's God. My God, it's God. It was God. That you've been hearing from God. God Almighty's been speaking to you. He's been speaking from heaven. The very God that created the universe. So, what time are you supposed to be getting up? How long are you supposed to do it? I mean, what book of the Bible are you supposed to be in right now? I don't know. I just pick the Word up, open it, and read what. You serve a living Lord. And here's why it's important to be that specific, because when hell hits you, I mean, when the seat of your pants is on fire because hell has come to your home, hell on wheels has come, you'll think back and you'll say, he's been leading me in the simplest of things. He's been telling me what time to get up, what time to pray. And listen, I'm not saying, you know, have these marathons of 8 hours of prayer and stuff. A lot of times your mind will go, well, I can't spend all that time, and it'll help excuse you to say, I'm too busy. Listen, even if he's asking for 30 minutes, it's your responsibility to follow him. You know, the good thing about this is you start in the morning and he'll act like you never were gone. Praise God. That's worth coming for. You can start tomorrow, or if you start, you know, Friday or whenever, he'll act like you never, he'll come and meet with you and chum up with you. But it's so important. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. We are the what? Family. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want all of you to go out of here with this. I didn't bring it out here. Boy, this is rude to walk off stage while I'm talking to you. Are you guys still out there? Can you still hear me? Hallelujah. I'm just in here reading a magazine is all I'm doing, really. Come here, Alex. Put this on. Put it on. You good-looking Haitian. Nice upgrade. Jesus wore one of these. He didn't look this way on the outside, but his flesh was just like that. His flesh, he never did. There's so many scriptures that said he never sinned, and I believe that with all my heart. If he did, then we don't have salvation. We needed a spotless lamb. I got a spotless lamb. His name is Jesus. But he wore an earth suit just like this. And we depict it like this because it can be ugly. It doesn't have to be. It can live under the dominion of a spirit to where there's life in that body, not because the life can be created by that body. The body is always going to give you problems in and of itself, but it can be dead enough that the enzymes, that's the word I was looking for a while ago, the enzymes that are in the flesh, and that's not a biblical word, that's just something I come up with. The enzymes that are in the flesh, they can be so dead that the life of God can be living through you. That's why we're calling this series that we were doing and still probably will be doing, My Body, His Life. It has to be His life. I live, yet not I, but the life that I live by Christ Jesus, who lives, who lived, gave himself for me, lives in me. His flesh, Jesus' flesh, was created by the Holy Ghost through the body of Mary. So the real cool deal was this, the coolest deal. And it doesn't say this in the Word. It just had to happen this way. He got his life, the spiritual life, his spirit, his human spirit, at conception, not after conception, because then he would have had death in his spirit, but immediately as conception was taking place. Usually what takes place in all human beings is a body comes into existence and simultaneously a spirit comes into existence through the law of Genesis, and that spirit has death in it. It has spiritual death in it because it came from a body that had spiritual death in it. The neat thing was, the coolest thing was, Jesus was the last Adam. He's the last Adam because there ain't going to be a third one. He got his spiritual life the same place that the first Adam got it, straight from God. Straight from God, his Father. And that spiritual life was breathed into her, was given to him the moment of conception. In other words, somehow God kept the productivity of the spirit, unwrapped those genes or that chromosome. It did not produce a human spirit of death. It immediately, according to John chapter 5, Jesus said that he had received his life, his spiritual life from the Father. His spirit came into existence, not by death, but it came into existence by life. He's the first man to be born spiritually alive in 4,000 years. Now, we all get born again. The day mom gave me birth 25 years ago, I'm sorry. Okay, 40. What are you laughing about? When mama gave me life 40-something plus years ago. Okay. I was born spiritually dead. You know, when you're bouncing them little babies, you can't imagine that they're spiritually dead. They're so sweet. But they're spiritually dead on the inside. I got born again, but I'm still wearing one of these earth suits. He was born spiritually alive, then he spiritually died, then he got reborn. He was alive, then dead, not just physically dead. Spiritually, he was alive, then spiritually dead, and then spiritually back to life. But until he got his glorified body, he carried and lived in one of these. And the most amazing part to me was it could have sinned. It could have. Now, this is what Hebrews, and this is the encouraging part that I want you to go out of here with. Hebrews chapter 4, and we've read this, and we did it last week, but 14 says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know your infirmities have feelings? Yes, they do. Not just your physical infirmities, but your temptations. I mean, when something comes against you, if it's fear, that's an infirmity or that's a temptation, but you feel that. If something, something immoral comes at you, it's not just a thought. If it's just a thought, it's easy to dismiss, but when it's, when it's got a feeling behind it, when you have a thought, if you had a thought of hatred towards somebody, just a thought, you can usually just dismiss a thought by thinking of something else if it's just, but when it has a feeling, feelings don't go away too easy sometimes. But the Bible says he's touched with the feelings he feels, he can feel. How can God do that who's sinless, yet he knows what you're feeling? That's tough for me, but I know it's real. I mean, there's no darkness in him, but he knows what you're going through. Isn't that great? That's great. But Jesus, he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points. Everybody say all points. You say, well, he was never married, or he was never a wife, or he was never a husband. No, but the word says in all points. So something he went through, totally gives the Holy Ghost the right to say what he went through in some fashion as a form of a man gave him the ability to say, I've felt that before. I have been there, not done that, but I've been there and faced that, so I know what you're going through. He says, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet, thank God, it says he was without sin. Aren't you glad? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. This, tomorrow, tonight, next week, when you go before him tomorrow in the morning or whatever you're going through, say, Jesus, I know that you wore one of those things. There's no need in me hiding anything from you. You know how I feel. But I am so thankful that you said that I can come sheepishly, fearfully, boldly, not with arrogance, say what our boldness is based on is his love and his mercy for us, his grace. We come before the throne of what? Grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy is his compassion. It's his love. He wants you to snuggle up to him. He wants that place. Homer said the Lord's come visit him like three different times in the last few months. One of the first things that he established in him was stay in this place. And staying in that place meant to Homer a place of love like he had never experienced before. Not only to God, but everything that God was working in his life for mankind. As a result of that, then later on he was able to talk to him about bearing his cross. We heard that Sunday about taking up his cross, following him. That began to complete some things inside of him. What I'm saying that for is this. If you fall in love with Jesus, and if you come to him knowing in grace how much he loves you, and he's already been there, and he has been through the worst of the worst, and he has felt every, And here's the thing. This is what you've got to know. He was tempted in all points, yet without what? Sin. If you fail this, you're going to get a big F for tonight. If you fail this question, is temptation a sin? No, it's not. Is feeling the temptation a sin? No, it's not. It's when you begin to go with it. It's when you begin to go with it. But the devil wants to kill us with the warfare that's in front of us and say you're a slimy dog because you're feeling some of these things. Say, Jesus, you felt it too, but you didn't go with it. So as long as I don't go with it, I'm not going to feel this guilt. And you know what? If I did go with it for just a little bit, then I'm going to say, Jesus, you know, 1 John, what does it say? If we confess it, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Does that mean some unrighteousness? It means all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So I'm good. I'm good either way, because if He's throwing all the hell at me and I'm feeling junk, 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 as long as I don't go ahead and just go ahead and say, I cave in. I'm just going to give in. And if I did that momentarily for a day or two, if I say, oh my God, I went crazy for a little bit. Lord, forgive me. Is He faithful and just to do that? Praise God. Hallelujah. You can take your mask off now. Praise God. Hallelujah. The whole deal is just walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I really believe this. Fearing God is loving God. But I believe the greatest way to overcome is to fall head over heels in love with Jesus. Because I believe there's people that even fear in hell sometimes won't keep you from doing stuff. Even fearing that we'll just put the fear of God that you're going to hell. People know they're going to hell sometimes and it feels better to do what they're going to do and say, I might be going to hell, but this felt good for a little while. But if you love Jesus, something won't let you, you can't do it. At least if you do it, you won't be able to stay there doing it. To the people that love Jesus, the worst to me right where I'm at, this is why I know I'm not going to hell, thank God. The worst thing about hell would be is not being able to have intimate fellowship with Jesus. Missing Him. That would be hell to me. Because I love Him that much. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank God. Are you glad that we didn't ask and send a paper around and say, what time is your prayer time tomorrow? What time was your prayer time today? It may take you a few days, but when you close those beady little eyes tonight, be asking Him. We'd have a grace line, but sometimes that don't work as well as you just really getting under conviction and saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Father, we just love You right now. We give You all the praise and all the glory. Father, none of us are perfect in the sense that we just do everything every day like we're supposed to. And Lord, there's so much room in you. The throne, we come boldly to, not a throne of law, but a throne of grace. And in that place of that throne, in that throne, Lord, the whole vision, at least mine, I don't know about theirs, but that whole vision of that your throne is, it's so messed up sometimes. I see myself standing, looking way up in front of you to a throne, and you're rendering a decision. But Lord, you have, your throne has come down. Your throne has plateaued. It is, I'm in what you're saying there is that we come boldly that we may obtain mercy. That is your love. I'm looking straight into your face in this throne. I'm not having to look way up, five stories high, to see an image of a God that's trying to render his love. Your throne is you holding me. You're holding me, Jesus. You're holding me, Father. I'm getting to say what hurts me and what, where the owie is at, where the ouch is at. You're not sitting there as a God looking down five stories to render a verdict of mercy. Your mercy is that you've pulled me to yourself. The grace is your strength for me to walk away and continue to do the things that you deliver to me in the throne. We love you, Father. We speak life to these, your people. We ask you to bless them. Help us to go out of here, Lord, and to minister to you and to begin to contemplate our appointments like never before. That we'll continue to contemplate and say, Lord, how much am I supposed to be praying? When am I supposed to be praying? What documents of the Word am I supposed to be reading? Lord, I love you. I love you because you're real. You're just, in a moment I'll hug some of these people, we'll shake hands, we'll say goodnight, but you're more real than they are. You're just as real. You're standing right here with us. We love you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory, and I bless them because I love them. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you tonight.